Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited. My friend is back with us today. He's been a fighter in Arizona, not just for Arizona, but for this whole country. He is defender of truth. He has a lot going on, and I wanted to have him back to catch up. Thank you for joining me, Mark Fitchum.
Thank you for having me, Mel. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I recently just saw you. We were together at Border 911 at Mar-a-Lago, and we got to talk to a lot of people, and you've been a very, very loud voice in talking about what is happening at our border in Arizona. You've been hit particularly hard, and to watch all those patriots, including yourself, up there talking about the realities of what is going on there. So I just wanted to start quickly on what is going on in Arizona and what people should know about the situation there right now.
Yeah, so border911.com, people should go take a look and see the work that Tom Homan and Mike Morgan and that crew are doing. I think it's really, we're starting to penetrate through the media propaganda empire, kind of like the Empire Strikes Back.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
we're the foot soldiers that are speaking truth to power, which is an interesting twist. It used to be the left laying claim to that.
Right.
Well, now they're the man, and they're lying to the American people. So we have a border, our southern border. I'll talk about the physical border first.
Right.
The physical border of southern Arizona, when Governor Abbott did what he did, and God bless him for doing it, because what he's done is he forced out into the sunlight a lying, treacherous, treasonous Alejandro Mayorkas.
Oh, yeah.
Alejandro Mayorkas is perhaps the greatest threat to American security next to Joe Biden that I have seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
So we have the Arizona ends up being kind of the pressure relief valve of all the people that would have crossed in Texas. They're going to bypass New Mexico because the terrain is just, it's like God took all of the stuff that he didn't like and kind of put it on the New Mexico border,
right,
between rocks and crevices and all that. But he blessed Arizona with a fantastic border for tourism, for travel, commerce with Mexico. And well, the cartels are exploiting that.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're engaged in not just drug trafficking, but we now see a phenomenon in the United States where we've never had slavery at epic proportions. This makes slavery of the 17 and 1800s look like a nit compared to what is going on in our borders and the people not only who facilitate it, but the people who are engaged in the promotion of it.
Right.
It's absolutely sickening. Then we add to that the layer of child pornography, child sex trafficking.
I know.
This is, if God doesn't do something to wake America up, he'll probably have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And I don't see that coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a really big deal that people have to understand the level of slavery going on. You think people are all good people and all of that. That is not true. When people can exploit people, plus a lot of these people are coming over and they still, the cartel is not a bunch of people down in Mexico that sit around on a ranch. They have corporations and shell companies all over America, and they're trafficking these people. They don't make any money. A lot of them sleep in like wherever they can in bulk people, they pull them out. They're not just working in, you know, the farms. They're working as maids and in restaurants and in factories and in food service and all of that. And they don't make any of that money. They give it to the people that are housing them. Yeah.
If they're working, I mean, you cross the border now and you get thousands of dollars in cash and a phone and a credit card, or debit card and all that. But just a minute, that's just the people that are in mass.
Right.
Then you have the overlay of military age individuals. And there's a tell that goes on there that, you know, the military guys get it. When they see video of 6 to 18 individuals crossing together, and there's this thing that happens in military, even in law enforcement training, that when you are a cadre, when you're a group, a squad or a platoon,
right,
You have these things that are so inculcated into your behavior, they're really hard to shed.
Yeah.
So when you see six guys coming across with obvious Asian features, that's a squad.
Yeah.
You see 18 to 23 individuals coming across in a group, and they're watching each other, and they don't move far away from each other. They tend to move as a body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a platoon.
Yeah.
So America better wake up.
Yeah.
This current administration is facilitating a true invasion of this nation. And I'm glad that the Tom Homan and the crew really shone a very bright light on what's going on there.
Yeah. And, you know, we also have to be aware that behind Mayorkas is, I know, Sunstein and other lawfare people that have manipulated the law in every other way with elections and everything are putting in right. legislation to manipulate the law in terms of definitions of asylum, definitions of parole, definitions of probation, all to facilitate this, definitions of even now you're not, Mayorkas came out, said you have to call them undocumented citizens. Well, you know, the next thing they're going to say is that all citizens, documented or undocumented, deserve X, Y, and Z, including voting. So we got a whole game being played down there. But you, another thing that you're on the forefront of that has escalated as well. I mean, you've been super involved for years, but you and Carrie Lake have a case that has made it, unlike many, many others have not, has just recently made it to the Supreme Court. So let's talk a little bit about your run, what happened there, and the case that has finally escalated and is, I think, the first case that is actually going in front of the Supreme Court about the elections.
Well, I pray that that's the case. So the case of Lake and Fincham v. Adrian Fontes et al. The et al. Is Pima County,
right.
Maricopa County, the counties that use black box ballot tabulation equipment. And by that, I mean Dominion, ES&S, and a host of others. So in July of 2022, we brought a case in the U.S. District Court for the state of Arizona in front of Judge Tucci. We were dismissed on standing because it was too, quote, speculative. All right. We had evidence in the briefs that there was a problem with the machines in the 2020 election, and we implored the court to say, well, we just don't want the same thing to happen in 2022 because nothing's been changed about the machines. It's still the same software. They're still the same machines. They're still the same, literally the same machines that screwed up the election in 2020. Well, there's no proof that the 2020 election was a problem. Okay, so apparently the court has redefined the term proof and evidence and testimony. We had a mountain of testimony showing that, look, if we do not get an injunction against the use of these machines that cannot be relied upon, look at Curling v. Raspensberger. There's a case right there where Judge Tottenberg, she sealed, this is the twist of irony here is beyond belief. She seals the evidence and the testimony on the request of CISA.
Huh.
Why? Because we don't want the bad guys to be able to have advance warning of the vulnerabilities. Hey, I got news for you, sister. They already know.
Exactly.
That's why they penetrated.
Right.
So we go before the court, and the court says, no, this is too speculative. Okay, we kind of knew that an Obama-appointed U.S. district judge would tank this thing. But we wanted to give the opportunity. We had to step outside of the state court system because God knows how corrupt that is now.
Right.
We had to go to the U.S. district court thinking that there would be this thing called the 14th Amendment due process guarantees. They said, well, you may be candidates, but you don't have standing because not because you're on the ballot, which if anybody would have standing, we would. But because it's just too speculative. All right. Here's another twist of irony.
Wow.
On the day of the election, when the Maricopa County machines, 62% of the Maricopa County vote tabulation machines were rejecting ballots at the rate of 7,000 every 30 minutes.
Unbelievable.
This was nothing but a steaming garbage heap of corruption.
Right.
And by the way, the majority of the machines that were rejecting ballots were, interestingly enough, in heavily Republican vote center areas.
Shocking.
Stephen Richard didn't have something to do with that. Oh, by the way, we have a heat map showing where the machines were overlaid on the Republican registration map. All of that was known in advance. So we go to the Supreme Circus, which would be the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals, right, where Judge Hurwitz asked an astonishingly dumb question. Can you show me, counselor, where it says in the Constitution where the people have a right to vote?
What? Well, that's almost as crazy as an American citizen that ran not having standing. But where does it say that the people...
I'm sitting behind counsel and I'm thinking, do I point out women's suffrage or do I just be quiet? And our attorney's like, shh, no.
Yeah. My God.
So where we're at now, oh, by the way, on the day, another twist of irony, this is thing that's just dripping with irony.
I know.
On the day that the machines failed, which the reason for our court case was we predicted that they would fail. Carrie and I and our attorneys were slapped with sanctions for bringing a what? Frivolous lawsuit to the District Court of the United States of Arizona. Okay. So now, in the fullness of time, and between our original filing and the moment where we gathered all the evidence, Carrie had a couple of cases in court.
Right.
You may recall she had 10 points and the state court only allowed one of them to be argued. It's like, okay, in other words, you don't want to know.
No, right.
You don't want to see the evidence because it's going to reveal just how corrupt the system is.
Yeah.
Now, I had no idea. In fact, I've talked to Senator Borelli and Representative Biasucci, who were my co-leads on the November 30th, 2020 ad hoc hearing that we held here in Phoenix, just to examine Maricopa County and to listen to the people. We talk regularly. We had no idea that when we pulled this little string, that the whole thing would come unraveled. We thought it was just Maricopa County had a problem. Oh, no. This is the entire nation.
Right.
So in the fullness of time and all the various court cases, there's been a lot of testimony, a lot of evidence examined, computer logs, warnings that the computers gave saying, oh, you have a mismatch on the software. So we have come to find out three critical things that we decided to go to the Supreme Court with. And because of the way our court was essentially dismissed for lack of standing and some of the other things that go on behind the scenes, we were able to introduce three key points that really matter in this. And it's not just about Maricopa County in Arizona.
Right.
This applies to every vote tabulation machine in the United States, possibly the world. Issue number one. The county claimed that they had done logic and accuracy testing, which is required under Arizona law. Failure to do so is actually a crime. You have to do that with public notice, and you have to do that test in front of party officials from the major parties. They have to be a witness to it, and they have to sign off on it. They represented in court that they had done that, when in reality, they lied. Oh, I'm sorry. They misrepresented. They misled the court. Maricopa County only did it on 5 spare machines. They did not do it on all the machines.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it gets better. After the public meeting and in secret, they then did do a test on all the machines, which leads us to believe that they knew damn well that those machines would reject 62%. They had a 62% machine fail rate.
Wow.
That they would reject tens of thousands of ballots and they'd have to go to what? Oh, hand adjudication.
Right.
That's where the secret sauce happens. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's LNA testing. They misrepresented that in the court. Then they misrepresented the fact, their fact, that the software had been certified by the EAC, Election Assistance Commission. Well, it may have been certified as a non-tampered with software, but in the back end, in the dark of night, without anybody knowing, Maricopa County had a Dominion employee create essentially a Frankenstein version of the software that was not certified. Not only did they use that in 2022, it's the same error message, which tells us the same software was used in 2020. They put software into the approved software that was an executable that could do what? Change the vote count. In fact, could even insert a replacement vote count.
Right.
But wait, there's more. Sounds like an infomercial, doesn't it?
Yes.
The third piece of the third leg of this fraud that we are claiming, the machine manufacturers on the software page, when you log into the computer, there's a plain text file that contains what? What are called the God keys. This provides full access of anybody who enters that machine environment to alter the software, to upload a replacement file and extract other files without being detected.
Right, right.
Those are the three legs that we have now brought to the Supreme Court. I think we filed about 3.5 weeks ago.
Right.
Our certiorari. It was docketed, but that doesn't mean it's been accepted.
So, but people can actually, that are watching this, get involved and start a campaign.
Absolutely.
Because I was just talking to Bridget Gabriel. She says Act for America. And it's like, we have to, they have a certain amount of people. If they do call, they have like a whole like mathematical equation that say like 50 people call. Well, to them, that's like 50,000 people. Cause they think for every one call, there's probably 1,000 people. I mean, there's all kinds of metrics behind this. So if you do call, it really does make a difference. And we should all be calling right now.
Absolutely.
In front of the Supreme Court, because something you're talking about is very important, because there's been a lot of talk about the machines, about the connection to the internet, all of that. But what I heard long ago, from different people that have been involved in this the whole time, Seth Keschel and Jovan and other people, is it's the software. That you know, if you don't use the right, if you don't point to the right thing, because it's so nefarious and so many people are in on it, and that there's layers of people that were complicit or at least turn the other cheek or whatever it is. The truth is that the software can be programmed. And when it is programmed in a certain way, you know, all the other stuff doesn't matter. It's a programming of it's not the hardware. It's not the internet. It's actually programmed that way.
And machines do what they're told to do.
Right.
That's a key thing to remember, Mel. They do what they're told to do. So when you hear somebody just shrug their shoulders and say, it's a glitch. No, it's not a glitch.
Right.
In the computer world, they call that an undocumented feature. In other words, they don't want you to know about it. It just happened. So this whole architecture explains why the Uniparty, particularly the Democrats, which seems very strange because they're the ones in 2016 which accused the machines of being corrupt. Now, all of a sudden, because their guy won, oh, it's okay. Just there's nothing to see here. It explains why they have spent hundreds of millions of dollars in lawfare.
Yes.
To prevent the inspection of the code, claiming, oh, it's proprietary. One damn minute. Time out. My electoral franchise guaranteed me under the 14th Amendment, under due process, trumps your copyright.
Yeah.
That software has to be open to inspection. That's the one of the two legs of election integrity. Number one is security. And you brought up, you know, the connection to the internet. Well, we've already blown that entire narrative up because of all of the access that is built into the motherboards that you can't turn off.
Right, exactly.
So they lied to the American people. They've lied to the courts. Now they've lied to legislatures. It's just not, oh, well, it's air gapped. Okay, stop a second. That comes from 20 years ago when they plugged computers into a wall.
Right.
Right? You unplug it. That's called an air gap. That doesn't deal with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, burst modems, all this other architecture that's been built onto these motherboards.
Right.
So they lied about access. That's security. They also lied about transparency. Oh, well, you can't see this because it's copyrighted. Okay, hold on a second. If all of the machines that are being used, irrespective of their maker, are all using Smartmatic in the background, How then are they proprietary? They're now using a shared platform. I believe in legal the world that that's kind of blows up the whole proprietary idea.
And why would any government official or government, first of all, it's, we know why, but why would they ever enter into a contract with a private company that then doesn't allow them to do due diligence or to audit it after because of proprietary, code right. or whatever? It doesn't make any sense. Also, exactly. Smartmatic, people on my show know, was run by now the head of the Open Society, but George Soros's right-hand man, Lord Moloch Brown or Moloch Brown, whatever you want to call him. Yeah. And at the same time, this is all happening all over the world. So all of the cases, including your and Kerry that is in front of the Supreme Court, actually affects elections all over the world. It is the same people. So we have to remember, a lot of times Trump says, you know, they're not after me, they're after you and I'm in the way. And I say on my show, they're not after America, they're after the world, and America is in the way. And this is another opportunity for America to stand up for the rest of the world. Because if they take us down, they got the rest of them. If we stand up for liberty and for truth and transparency and real elections that are by the people, for the people, then we can do that for the rest of the world. If we do not, and they continue down this path, no elections are ever going to be legitimately accepted going forward. Now, so we're waiting on that. And everyone that's listening right now should get on the phone. You can email, you can call multiple times, tell your friends to do it. Let's have the Supreme Court at least see the evidence, because what is happening, right. Mark, as well, in a lot of these cases, especially because of CREW, which is Citizens Responsibility for Ethics in Washington, Norm Eisen, the king of lawfare, I call him, the wily coyote to Trump's roadrunner in lawfare, and also Mark Elias and other people, they have gone around the country. Basically, anyone that questions the election, they lawfare and try to bankrupt, try to go after their law licenses. Right. We have the 65 Project, which is that's David Brock, Media Matters, Chertoff, other people that have gone after people's law licenses. We saw what happened to John Eastman, what's happening to Clark, what's happened to all these people. And all of this is essentially a war, as I can see it, Mark, on patriots that believe in nationalism, the nation state, that believe in our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, that are against the global governance model and open borders, like the traditional American heroes and citizens and people that really want to help this country are under attack. And you're on the front lines of that. How does that make you kind of look at the country right now as we're watching this go down a path that is very dangerous? And I still don't feel like people get the high stakes of what we're dealing with.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Yeah, so 3 points. Number one, I don't believe we have elections anymore. I think they're selections.
Yeah.
You can't, the government now has to prove to me that they have legitimate elections, because they can't right now.
Yeah.
Point number two. I believe that every single individual, and that's one of the things that we have put forward in a memo to the court, every one of these people, from Mark Elias all the way down to the county attorney in Maricopa by the last name of Liddy, yes, G. Gordon Liddy's son.
Oh, wow.
Every one of those lawyers should be disbarred. And we would ask for 100% reimbursement of the legal fees that they have run up, because they've tried to bankrupt not just the people who are standing up, and we're fraud affirmers.
Right.
We're not election deniers. We're fraud affirmers.
Right.
And they've tried to bankrupt us because we had the temerity to stand up and question a system that belongs to the people. It doesn't belong to the courts. It doesn't belong to the government. Then the third piece of that is, I don't think they didn't account for people like me.
Yeah.
I ain't going away. I got nothing left to lose in this world. So that's one of the reasons that I'm running for state Senate in Arizona. All right. You might have denied me from being the Secretary of State in Arizona because I would have
cleaned it up. You look at how much money they would have lost. If you got in, the contracts would have gone away.
Right. I would have had access to the code.
Right.
Because that's what the Secretary of State has access to. We could have done an audit and then compared that code that the state had to the code Maricopa County used. Would have saved the taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. But you got, what is that? The movie Sting, never give up the con.
Yeah.
They had to continue to play the con. So, all right, you didn't want me to be Secretary of State. Now I'm going to run for the state Senate and we're going to get into this. So, If people want to look at that campaign, they can go to votefincham.com. That's VOTEFINCHEM.com.
Right.
We're also having a fundraiser in Mar-a-Lago April 25th. So if people want to help me, they can help me.
Yeah, we'll put it up on the website too. But I do want to say this is what it takes, is somebody like you who's not willing to give up, because so many people have, and the lawfare is so evil because it not only destroys the person in all other ways, it also is set to bankrupt them and remove them and remove their voice and all of that. It's very hard to hang on. I agree with you about all of these lawyers, but you know, Mark, the scarier thing that most people don't really know, what I do on my show is I follow the money, but I also read their documents, because these people don't hide what they're doing. So you look at something like Norm Eisen's Voter Protection Project, right? And you go to the website and you read through, and you kind of really, if you really read through, and I can understand, because I've read all these documents from the UN and other places that are all aligned with this kind of globalist takeover, because these global elections, it's all connected. It's all the same stuff that's happening here is happening all over the place. Same companies, same players, same back-end money, same globalist NGOs. Manipulating a lot of this. But if you go to Democracy Alliance or Voter Protection Project, or even Civic Action, which is the Obama's Get Out to Vote, if you really read them, what they're actually saying is that they don't believe that any American should be able to vote or have a voice. Or what they are talking about in all of their documents that sounds like voter integrity, and we'll get into your is really about them deciding, this elite group deciding, or making the vote so impossible to be legitimate that it will never be legitimate. Everything that they lay out, from not having ID to all these different things, to taking weeks, to drop boxes, to permanent legislation from COVID that should have been temporary, having to stay in forever as if that has something to do with voter integrity. I mean, the language that these people, especially these NGOs that are pushing this, that also include the same lawyers, if you really read it, all they're saying is they don't even believe in elections at all. They don't. If you go one step further to the people that are their mentors and the people that actually they come from, whether be it the Saul Alinsky type or those other people, they truly believe that this supra class of people, what I call the private the parent company running the United States above our government, they're in charge. So you look at people like the bankers and the billionaires and the Larry Finks and the Bill Gates and the Jeff Bezos, and then you look at what's going on, you think the people don't have a voice at all at this point. But then you throw in the think tanks and the lobbyists. So for me, somebody like you, who's like a dog with the bone and is not giving it up, is our only way to ever fix this. And you've also started a election integrity group. You've been working on election integrity this whole time, but people have to fully understand Americans need to stand up now, not just for our country, but for the world, because this is happening everywhere. And America is the place that needs to solve it. So let's talk a little bit about what going forward, what people can and should be doing.
Wow, there's a whole bucket. But number one, vote. They don't anticipate, they can't anticipate massive voter turnout. They can't hide it anymore.
Right.
In fact, if people remember back, the videos have now been scrubbed from the internet.
Yeah.
But there were hundreds of thousands of people in the streets all over the world chanting what? Fight for Trump.
I know.
They knew that the elections in their own country have become nothing more than a selection process, that you go in, you vote, you get your little sticker, I voted, they pat you on the head, we'll let you know what the outcome is. BS.
Right.
Stalin said, I don't particularly care who votes. I want to know who's tabulating the vote. I want to control that, because it's in that that we get the results, okay? Now, here's the thing that is most disturbing. We knew within days of 2022 that something was terribly wrong. Oh, yeah. Mathematically, it didn't work out. We brought in the Speaker of the House, Rusty Bowers, shame on him forever, explained to him the mathematical reality of what was going on, because there were some MIT people that, I mean, they walk around with two brains in their pocket, okay? Explaining, this is what this looks like, and this is how it manifests itself. So what does he do? He gets a member of the legislature and says, well, I went to MIT and I took a math class, and this could all be explained with another reason. Okay, you have Representative Paul Gosar is on this call, and they essentially dismissed people who had so much knowledge about how this was being done. Fast forward a few years, and they were dead on. They were spot on about what had happened.
Yeah.
So, yes, we formed up the Election Fairness Institute in advance of the 2022 election. We were tracking a lot of things that we're basically a research and publication shop.
Right.
I'm pleased to say that Seth Keschel is on our board. Yeah. We do things like mapping things that are just, they can't be explained statistically, because the body politic doesn't turn on a dime. It's like an ocean liner. It takes miles to turn that thing around, or even just knock it off 10 degrees. Okay. Yeah. Understanding what is going on with a body politic is the mission basically of the Election Fairness Institute. People, if they want to know more about it, they can visit goefi.org.
Right.
We're a 501c3. So if people want to make a contribution, it funds this work. We also have a speakers bureau. So if, in fact, I'm going to, Durham County, I think, in Georgia, this coming weekend. Right. Been asked to speak at an event where they're trying to get people out to vote. But what is the thing that people are saying? Well, it doesn't matter because the system's rigged.
Right.
Okay. You can't stop a second.
No, stop a second.
It may be rigged, but if you turn out, imagine how they would freak out if they had a 99.95% voter turnout. Now, in Pima County, in the 2020 election, which I found very interesting, they actually had 107 and 114% turnout in two precincts. Okay, explain to me how that happens.
Right, I know.
That was an early warning sign that they had registrations that were being voted without people to match to the ballots.
Yeah.
And that's what we have going on today. So this whole notion that the Supreme Court case, you know, of course, Mark Elias and that crew, they don't want it heard because the jig is going to be up. I get it. My hope is that the Supreme Court comes to understand two things. One, this will, if they hear this case and they remand it back, or they take action and they say, we're going to grant you your injunction, we're going to have a free and fair election this time around. Paper ballots, hand counting at the precinct level. On election day, hard stop. And Maricopa County, we're going to appoint a special master so that you can't get your grubby mitts on this thing and have somebody actually oversee this election meticulously. That's issue number one. Issue number two, if we're able to get the Supreme Court to understand that it's not just the Democrats coming after them, it's the uniparty that wants to change the complexion of the Supreme Court. In essence, they want to do away with the court's autonomy. Congress wants to have a code of ethics for justices. Well, my question is that going to apply to Congress as well?
I know. And how did they get there if they need to re-examine their ethics?
Yeah. Okay. Number two, does the court understand that they want to pack the court and essentially strip it of its autonomy? Number three, if you are going to go after justices that you don't like, you're going to set an age limit. Oh, you can only go till age 67. Well, that's a slippery slope. Next thing you know, it'll be 65.
Of course.
Next thing you know, they're going to have high school kids there because high school kids agree with what their position is. So
that's how they do everything. That is their modus operandi, is to make something a slippery slope and keep pushing it.
So if we can get the court to understand, out of the survival of the court itself, they should hear this case, Because if they're able to say, no, the 14th Amendment matters, the people have a right to inspect any code, all aspects of any machine that's going to go anywhere near their elections.
Right.
And in the interim, if you refuse to offer that machine companies, then the most you can be used for is to verify the hand count up front. Now, that's a case, frankly, in Mojave County, Arizona. We had an out of control radical leftist AG, Chris Mays, threaten the county supervisors with criminal prosecution if they dared do a hand count election.
Right.
So EFI raised the funds and essentially we're in court with one of the supervisors who is saying, look, the Arizona law says we may use machines, not that we have to. It's permissive, not prescriptive. It doesn't say shall, it says may.
Yeah.
So if we're able to win that, and frankly, we know we're over the target because every leftist group in the country has tried to come after this and file a motion as an intervener. No, number one, you didn't make the decision to not to use or not use machines. Number two, you weren't threatened criminally.
No.
Number three, I'm pretty sure that the Attorney General for the state of Arizona has enough resources to defend herself.
Yeah.
Mark Elias doesn't need to come in here and defend her.
I just find it incredibly insulting and abusive. And I don't know why there's not more righteous indignation that billionaire funded lawyers like Mark Elias and Norm Eisen and the Crew people, that they go around the country persecuting anyone that wants to question the election, especially people that ran, and that they even intervene at all. You know, a lot of people think that the Zuckerberg's $400 million that he put in 2020 has gone away. That's not true. A lot of states made it illegal, but they have changed their name from Tech and Civic, whatever it was, to the Center for Election Excellence. And then they have Indivisible, and they have Civic Action, which is the Obama's Get Out the Vote group. Yeah. And they have groups all over. But what I am hearing a lot of is that, you know, about 35% of Americans did not vote in 2020. And mm-hmm. It does appear that a lot of those people are now registering to vote because of how bad this country is for them. People are personally feeling it. We also have the Black community has realized not only was Black Lives Matter a total con job on the Black community and it didn't help their communities at all, but that a lot of that money went towards electing Joe Biden and not.
It went directly to Act Blue.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you got the legal immigrants who are getting the brunt of the people into their communities. And some of them have family members that are waiting years and sometimes many years to come join them because of the actual legal process to get into this country. So right. I think we have a lot of that, but we really do have to stress there are a lot of people out there on both sides, but on our side that say like, well, what's the point? Why would I vote? It doesn't matter. The point is that we have to overwhelm them so that whatever they do will not be able to succeed. And on top of that, I also think that people have to understand that that there are a lot of places still that people can get involved now to roll back the pandemic changes to the voting laws. And Right. Not enough people are taking that amongst themselves because you don't need to be a lawyer and you could get together with a group of people in your county and your community, put together. There's also Silent Majority and other groups that you can just go on their websites and learn how to file something. But I'm surprised that more rollback hasn't happened. I know they tried to put them all in permanently. Mark Elias is that's one of the big things they've been doing. But people still have the opportunity to push back on some of those pandemic changes, right?
They do. But one of the issues that we're running into now, in fact, we have this issue in Arizona. When I was in the House of Representatives, I ran a bill that would have curtailed the governor's authority to declare an emergency. It would have been a very narrowly defined set of circumstances. Right now, if you have 20 people that sneeze in a public park, okay, that sounds like a pandemic to me. We're going to institute martial law.
The
governor now has way too much power.
Yeah.
Well, we had members that didn't agree with me. It's like, well, you know, we have to make sure that the governor can take action if necessary. It's like, okay, time out. All I'm saying is if you want to make that claim within 10 days of the declaration, you have to prove your case to the legislature for it to continue.
Right.
That doesn't seem like a small request because why? We represent the interests of the people. not the corporation of the state.
Right.
But it went down in flames. But that's why I'm running for state senate in Arizona.
Right.
We've got right now we've got a senator in our district who is essentially a rubber stamp for Democrats, even though he claims to be a Republican.
Well, we have a lot of that around the country. That's why I keep saying to people, Mark, you can't just check the R box right now. There are a lot of people that purposefully, and some of them have been plants for multiple years through multiple positions, starting at the bottom, city council or a school board as Republicans, but they've never been. And the money's not coming from that side. It's coming from the other side. So you have to look at who they are, what they voted for in the past, where who's funding them, who do they align with. Every vote that you place this year, especially in the 2024 election, which is so crucial, because I'll tell you what the scariest part is. If, God forbid, the Biden regime stays in power, they're going to take it as a mandate that everything that they've done so far, they can up on steroids. You think this country is bad right now, if you're watching? Well, if whoever's, well, I know who's running, Biden, whoever's the globalist, the public-private partnership, the parent company that has usurped Washington, D.C., that runs Joe Biden, will take any win, fraudulent or not, as a double down on all of this stuff, the open border, the everything that's happening with the endless wars, everything that's happening in the inner cities, all the LGBTQ stuff, all the stuff at schools, they're going to take it. They will act like it's a total mandate to go crazy, full Marxist communist. And it's not a joke. And it's very real. And it's very dangerous times. So it's really important that people get involved. Now, what does the state Senate do that the that really helps protect the people? Because I think people also need to really look at their state Senate races and then their state races for like the commissioners and land management. Every single thing is on the board because the Zuckerberg and the Arnold Ventures and the Soroses, they've gone in and they've infiltrated all the way through. Plus, I talk a lot about Agenda 2030, the sustainable development goals, the smart city technology. A lot of that is going county by county.
That's right. So this is a huge, this could be a whole nother show, but I'll try to do it in a concise manner.
Okay.
So counties are where everything happens, but counties are established by the state. Okay. They're basically the execution folks at the local level by the state legislature. Now, the difference between the House of Representatives and the Senate, in most, except for Nebraska, where it's unicameral, the House is responsible for appropriations.
Right.
All the money is going to be spent. The Senate is supposed to, when it's healthy, be the watchdog over what the House does in spending. It's that check and balance to make sure that things don't make it through. Now, recently, it's kind of become a bit squishy. There's a little too much horse trading about, I want this project, and if you don't give me that, or... And I'm not that kind of guy. I can work with people when it is to the benefit of the public, to the benefit of the general welfare. What I'm not going to do is stand idly by and shell out money to this special project or the other. While I was, let me go back for just a moment. Here's a shining example. When Ken Bennett, the guy who I'm running against, was president of the Senate years ago under Janet Napolitano, he rolled his own caucus, voted with Democrats in a bankruptcy bill where the state of Arizona had to mortgage all the state buildings. I came into office after that. It took me and my colleagues 8 years to dig ourselves out from under that. Not only did we pay off the buildings early, but we also left a future governor with billions of dollars in surpluses.
Wow.
Because of fiscal responsibility. That's the kind of thing that people are going to get from a Senator Mark Finchem, from a healthy Senate. Now, the House of Representatives, God love them, but there are some folks there that probably also need to be cycled out as well.
Yeah.
The importance of the set of the legislature is it is the closest office at the state level to the people.
Right.
You got a governor, for example, who's elected by what, 6 million people? Each representative and each representative, even more so, is elected by 125 to 225,000 people. It's the smallest body that elects. Okay, so now you're looking at factions and individual interests. But I want to go back and touch on one more thing that kind of goes part and parcel with the us finding all of these things that are wrong with elections.
Right.
Now that the people who mislabel all of their various factions like Crew and American Election Experience, all that, that's all happy bullshit.
Yeah, it's all globalist money also. They're purposely deceiving
the people with the names of the organizations.
I know, it's terrible. Now that they've been found out,
crazy. Now that they know, we know about the machines, we know about voter registration, all of the things that we have been working on now for 4 years.
Right.
Their go-to is what? Screw it. We're just going to bring as hundreds of thousands of people in, register them to vote, and swamp the system. Well, for anybody who's done any level of college work in the civics world, you're going to know about Cloward and Piven.
Right.
Francis Fox Piven, and I believe it was Robert Cloward,
yeah.
A couple of socialists, social studies people from Columbia, came up with the theory, and they're right, the way to overtake a capitalist country is to flood it with non-capitalist-minded individuals so that you swamp the body politic with the inability to provide general welfare and services to legitimate citizens of that country. Wow, does that sound familiar?
Yep.
So as a state senator, you do have a great deal of power in fashioning public policy that tells county recorders, no, tells Secretary of State, no, you are not going to manage our shop that way.
Right.
Because why? If you do this, if you go down this path, we will eviscerate your budget. You're not going to have the money to execute on it. That's why the people have to be very involved in state legislative races.
Yes.
All over the country.
Right.
These are the people who are making decisions on how your taxpayer dollars are going to be spent.
Yeah, and they're the closest thing to the people. And that's why, you know, people feel like they're helpless and they can't do anything. I always say, I don't care if you know who your senator is, they should know who you are. Get involved, write letters, show up. The senators are the people that can stop a lot of this sustainable development and this Marxist stuff and all of this. It's actually the senators that can say, whoa, we're not doing that. And that's right. Really why we have to be very, very active in who we're picking. Both state and federal senators are the ones that really are the last stand for the people, in my opinion. So, Mark, tell everyone where to find you, how to follow you, how to contribute to your campaign. I will put the flyer for your event on our website events page as well. Okay. So just cover all of that and tell my audience.
So people can find me on Twitter. Yes, actually, Elon Musk stood up for me when the Arizona Secretary of State had me taken down on Twitter just before the election.
Oh, right. Oh, God. So, she's the worst.
Yep. So one of Rudy Giuliani's attorneys wrote a quick note. Hey, Elon, what's up with this? And within 41 minutes,
Great. My
account was back up and running. And so far, I know we're being throttled back because
I didn't get mine back. So God bless you for getting it back. Good for you.
I'll just say, hey, Elon, do we really have free speech or not? Okay. So, and by the way, I never really was an Elon guy, but he's made some really good moves, I think, for
the it's helped us. That's for sure. Like him or hate him, it's certainly given a voice back to a lot of people that deserved it.
You can find me at Real Mark Fincham. That's
great. Got it. @RealMarkFincham.
MarkFincham. You can find me on Twitter, Truth Social, @RealMarkFincham.
Right.
I don't do much out on Facebook. I leave that up to my campaign manager. He's like, social media for you is like children with firearms.
I get it. Stay away. Ban you.
With the messaging.
I get it.
If people want to know more about the, we have a fundraiser coming up at Mar-a-Lago, a number of different price points. We've designed it so a lot of people can participate. you know, it, not everything is a $5,400 ticket.
No. And it's very fun. Yeah. If you can go, it's fun. It's very patriotic. We just saw you, me and Roseanne. We leave every time we leave Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. We're like, everyone's so nice and fun. You know, yeah. You have to understand, like, whatever you're hearing out there, it's the total opposite. So we'll put that on the site as well. And what is your campaign website?
It's super simple. VoteFincham.com. That's VOTE, F like Frank, INCH, E like Edward, M like Mark.com. And by the way, I want to say publicly, thank you for being one of the hosts for the upcoming event. You and Roseanne both, Roseanne Barr,
yes.
Mike Dell, just an incredible lineup of people who they must be endorsing me for something.
Well, we love you and you're fun and you're honest and you're a fighter and we need fighters. Too many people, they fight a little while and they give up and you're never going to give up, you know, on Arizona or on this country. And you do a lot behind the scenes. People don't know. Some people see you as somebody who's running for office. You have the Supreme Court case, but you also support a lot of other good patriots behind the scenes as well. So I'm very honored to be your friend and I will see you at Mar-a-Lago at the end of the month and everyone should join us as well. Please go to Mark's website. All of his links are below. He's a great guy to follow also to stay up on what's going on in general in the United States that we need to know about. Thank you so much, sir. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mel.
Thanks. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel K Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week, share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkshowlive.com. The members at melkshowlive.com is a community for you. That continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join locals and join us on Sunday nights where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. locals or members.themelkshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.